Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Welcome back to Scrappy ABM, your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In the last episode, we talked through the 4D framework that is data, distribution, destination, and direction that should be the model that you use for building any ABM program. In this episode, we're going to walk through the concept that is an account progression model and then how you can take your account progression model, marry that up with the 4D framework. Once you put those two things together, you're going to have a highly successful ABM program. So let's go ahead and get started with the account progression model. In this concept, if you think about the framing of the idea around lead scoring and around contact level lifecycle stages, you have your subscriber, then your lead, then your marketing qualified lead, then your sales qualified lead, then an opportunity, and then customer. And then generally after customer, you may have evangelist, you may have path customer. That's kind of where it gets fuzzy depending on your organization. But pre-customer, it's pretty standard that you've got people that are subscribers that they're just somehow in your database somehow, some way. They opted in for something. Leads are those that are starting to maybe be right fit, people that are engaging. MQL is whatever you define MQL to be. SQL is kind of the same. I think an MQL is someone that is a right fit, that is showcasing significant engagement. Sales qualified lead is generally after that initial qualification call where they've been banted. Bant being budget, authority, need, and timeline. So if you can identify those four components, generally speaking, the sales team qualifies that lead. And then you have, last but certainly not least, the opportunity stage, which is where you actually work it until they become a customer. So again, we understand that from a theory perspective, but that's very contact focused and lead focused to get to the opportunity stage. And then suddenly the marketing manager that's been engaging all your content scheduled a call, they're qualified. And now all of a sudden they're an opportunity at the account level when no one else in the organization may know that you exist. The difference in an ABM program is in the nature of ABM, account based marketing. It's not lead based or contact based. It's account based. So we're focused on the company as a whole. And it's much more intuitive for a B2B organization because it's generally not speaking an individual that buys from you. Generally speaking, in decision-making committees, there's generally now upwards of 10 to 15 people involved in every purchase decision in a B2B context. So if you think about that, that largely means you've got to convince 10 to 15 people. At least you have to get the majority of six. So when you think about it from that perspective, the whole goal of an account-based marketing program is to raise awareness across the entire account so that you are engaging right fit people all the way through your sales process. So how do we do that? We first recognize that we have to change our tracking model. It's no longer about the leads. It's more about the accounts. And as a result, we create an account progression model. So the concept of the account progression model and how we do it at Scrappy ABM are there are various stages, very similar to your life cycle stages that I referenced earlier, but they have very clearly different definitions. So the top would be account awareness. At this stage, the whole goal of how you get an account out of the account awareness level is that you have someone that is aware or multiple people that are aware within the account of your organization. It's that simple. We want people to know that we exist. People hate on awareness level campaigns, but at the end of the day, if people don't know that you exist, they can't buy from you. So That's the goal of the awareness stage. How do we make our target accounts know that we exist? That then gets you into the initial engagement stage. Initial engagement just means they're starting to engage in some of our content. And ideally, it's more than just one person. Again, this is why a lot of people hate on the concept of intent data is, oh, we see an account is surging on intent data, but we don't know who in the organization is surging on intent or surging on our website or surging on engagement. The joke is often, oh, it could be the janitor. We just don't have an idea. So again, in this context, ideally initial engagement would be specific people that you targeted at the awareness level stage. So they're right fit people. And that doesn't necessarily always mean they're the chief marketing officer, the chief financial officer, the chief revenue officer, the chief operations officer, because that may be an inevitable decision maker. But generally speaking, executives, unless they seriously experience a pain, largely decision purchases are brought to them, and then their internal team is vying for the budget to make the purchase. So you want to not just have the end decision maker that's going to sign the contract and sign off on the budget, but you also want to have the key influencers and ideally some of the end users, so that when they're going to vie internally for this budget, you have a ton of advocates and evangelists that are on your side. So we start to look at, yes, the top level, also two, maybe three levels down to understand how do we engage the entire account. And additionally, we're not just looking at department level. Now, obviously, depending on what you're selling, you may involve different departments at different times. Prime example, you have a client, let's say marketing technology, but 40% of their deals inevitably involve IT. Most of the time, they're not engaging IT at the awareness level stage. They're engaging IT at the meaningful engagement stage, primarily because IT will never be a decision maker. They'll never be the advocate or evangelist, but they are typically the blocker. So when we think about who's involved in the deal, we want to understand when is the appropriate time to engage the different personas or different departments. So again, that's the awareness level stage. That's the initial engagement stage. And how do you transition out of initial engagement? Generally, as a standing rule, what you're looking at to get out of initial engagement is someone that has started to actively look at specific product pages. They may have looked at pricing pages. They may have looked at a schedule a call page. They are transitioning from, I'm looking at blog content, I may attend a couple of webinars, and they're now showing that they're probably interested in a purchase decision. If you have access to the data, then they're also showing up on review websites. They're also surging on third-party intent. They're also showing first-party engagement. So again, if you can look at those different data sets, you can then see these accounts are likely in market. And that's when you would transition out of initial engagement into meaningful engagement. Now, where I really like to think meaningful engagement from when somebody is actually starting to show some level of interest. Again, viewing a couple of product pages, probably not the immediate let's involve sales. Some contexts it might be. But from my perspective, as I'm working with a lot of clients, we're focused on showing the highest intent opportunities to our sellers and not every opportunity. So from my perspective, a couple of product pages, not a huge deal. Now, a couple of product pages, pricing page, and schedule a call page within rapid succession, but no meeting booked, that's surely when I would graduate someone out of the meaningful engagement stage. Now, I want to be super clear. You may have different definitions for your organization. There may be a specific content asset that is so detailed and so in-depth that what you see is that 90% of your deals have read that content asset before they actually convert. So it might be for you, the meaningful engagement stage is they've read 90% of this content. They spent 10 minutes on page, whatever that needs to look like for your organization. You can have your own definitions, but as a standard that's fairly universal that I think we could all agree on is if somebody's viewed a product, all your product pages, or has spent a ton of time on a specific product page to understand the details and the nuances of what you offer, they viewed your pricing pages and they viewed your schedule a call page. I can almost guarantee that everyone on your sales team would say, send me that account. Those are the leads that I want. Those are the accounts that I want to follow up with. So that's where I draw the line for meaningful engagement. Again, you can have your own definitions as long as you've got internal alignment, but that's how you can start to think through it. then you get to the re-engagement stage. If you think about kind of the, again, standard life cycle stages, that stage from meaningful engagement to when you get into re-engagement, that's where you would consider it to be a marketing qualified account, if you want to have that kind of definition as well. Because at that point, they are brand aware, they're problem aware, they're a right fit customer because you targeted them on the front end. And now they're really showcasing some level of, I'm in an active buying cycle, I'm ready to buy. Marketing has qualified that account through the education that they've provided up front. Now it's up to sales to convert that into a qualification call. So that's the re-engagement stage. At this point, what I highly recommend is that your sellers are then following up one-to-one, leveraging the information, the data that marketing has collected on the specific content assets that they've been looking at. So that might not be necessarily, hey, looks like you're reviewing our product page and our pricing page and our schedule a call page. Would you like to book a call? If they viewed a schedule a call page and they didn't book a call, it's highly likely that they are not ready necessarily to book a call. They're interested, but unless you've got a terrible schedule a call page, people should know how to schedule a call. So the goal here isn't to book the call. The goal here is to figure out why they haven't and then give them the information that they need to feel comfortable and confident booking the call. So what that's going to look like is following up and saying, hey, it looks like you checked out some of our pages, but you didn't end up booking a call. Just wanted to see if there were any questions that I could help with. And then you can look at the other content that they've engaged with and provide additional resources and say, hey, it looks like you were checking out this page, and this page, but maybe didn't see this resource that goes even deeper on these topics. I thought it might be helpful for you. You can do that with first-party information, but what we're actually also seeing is that using third-party information that validates what they were already looking at only further builds trust with your organization. Now, some people may say, oh, that's not trackable. Correct. But you can actually see click-through rates in your emails. So if you can see that they're clicking through in the email only had a third-party asset, you can see the engagement level. And I'd highly recommend that you A-B test it and say, we're going to provide first-party resources to this cohort, third-party resources to this cohort, and then see who converts at a higher rate into pipeline that ends up closing into revenue. And then you can make your decision from there. So again, that's the re-engagement stage. The goal is understanding why they haven't booked a call yet, and then further providing resources and assets one-to-one that would prioritize them to feel comfortable and confident to make the next step. And lastly, it's a sales qualification. Once they've booked the call, you do need to do some level of qualification here, because the goal is the account level was qualified. From a firmographic perspective, from a technographic perspective, from all the data that we had available, we know this account is qualified. The question then becomes, who are you engaging? Because if you were engaging still maybe a marketing manager and you really generally need to sell to a CMO, what you need to figure out how to do is then move up. How do you engage and multi-thread the accounts where you're actually now engaging the CMO? So there's that thought process. The other side is like budget and timing. So yes, it's authority. Ideally, if they've booked a call and all the upfront education that you've done, you know that they have a need. But the question is that need large enough that they would move forward quickly? Or is it kind of like, yeah, we're just, you know, we realize this is a problem. You know, we don't really have the budget to do it this quarter, but that's something we just wanted to learn more about. It's timing. You still need to figure out that qualification. And just because someone is qualified, they have a need, and they may have budget, doesn't necessarily mean that it's time to pass it to an AE. It might mean, hey, if this is a priority for Q2, happy to go ahead and share some additional resources. But, you know, it's Q4. So why don't we reconnect in Q1 and see what things look like from there? Because the goal is to pass over the highest intent accounts. So again, that's going to be a decision for your organization. But I want to give you the out to say, just because they're a target account that has booked a call and is interested, but maybe not interested right now, it's going to be a decision on your organization how you handle those. Because you can continue to leave them in the re-engagement stage and continue to engage with them, but maybe not progress them through a sales process because you have other accounts that are showcasing higher intent that are ready to buy this quarter. So once you've now qualified the account, then it's just an opportunity stage and you run it like a standard sales process. You may have better content because on the front end, you knew, okay, we're going after this cohort. We're going after these types of accounts. We've created better collateral down the road, but you run it as a standard opportunity with the goal being, how do we progress the account? How do we run pipeline acceleration plays? How do we unstick the deal? How do we engage a multi-thread to engage multiple departments? You can still run the same account progression model, but now it becomes more department-based within an account. And maybe once an opportunity has been triggered, that's when you then run the blocker type campaigns. So again, that's the high level of an account progression model. And once the opportunity has been created, it's going to largely depend on your internal organization, how you standardly sell. There's a lot of factors that come into play, but you can run ABM programs that are in pipeline based on engaging specific departments and getting in, breaking into specific departments as a way of furthering the engagement and awareness within that account. So I hope that's helpful. And when you think about that account progression model, the account progression model has clear goals at every single step of the way. And then how you marry that up with the 4D framework is you build playbooks that are based on the data that you have, the distribution channels that you have available, the destination that you want to point people to at that stage of their account progression model, and then how you track that they've engaged with that content. And you just build that out, an awareness, initial engagement, meaningful engagement, re-engagement, qualification, opportunity. You build out those playbooks at every single stage, and now you have created a full EBM program that is highly repeatable, that aligns marketing and sales because everybody has clear roles and responsibilities through the playbooks and has clear goals at every stage of the way. The other thing I really like about this approach is it segments things out. So you can start, depending on your organization, some people really like to start at that re-engagement stage because they maybe already have accounts that are showcasing first-party engagement and we just don't even know how to use that information. So you can start at the re-engagement stage because you've already seen meaningful engagement from potential right-fit accounts. So I like the breakdown here because it allows you to then build out not this concept of, oh, we've got to take 18 months to build our ABM program or 12 or even six, but you can segment it out into, this is an opportunity we have right now based on our current data flow. We're going to build this out here. It'll take us 6 to 8 weeks, but then we should start to see more meetings on the books. Awesome. Now, do we go up to build out playbooks at another stage of the account progression model, or do we go down to further accelerate those deals? And then that becomes an opportunity for you to discuss internally how you can slowly start to build out the full ABM program. I hope this is helpful as a different way of thinking about your ABM program. If you have thoughts and questions, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. My name is Mason Cosby. I'm all over LinkedIn. You can also go to scrappyabm.com if you would like to schedule a one-on-one call to chat further about your ABM program. This has been Scrappy ABM. We hope you all enjoyed. Thanks. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.